Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, good evening. We want to thank everybody for tuning in to Bible Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. We have a good show lined up for you tonight. But first of all, we want to take this time to go to God in prayer. So let us bow for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace this evening. Just thanking you for this day. I want to thank you for your Son, Jesus, who paid the ultimate price that we might have everlasting life, to be obedient to his will. And Father, we want to ask you to forgive us of any sin that we committed, may be word, thought, and deed, that it may not come up this day or day in judgment. Also, we want to ask special prayer for our host panel this morning and for the listeners, that someone will be asking a question, what must they do to be saved? We want to send this prayer up in Jesus' name. Amen. Bring in Brother Robbins, host for the show.
Yep. Brother Robbins here.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Good evening. This is Brother Robbins, and this is Open Forum, a Bible study program. You can call in and get all the Bible answers to all your Bible questions. This program is broadcast every Thursday from 7:30 to 8:30. Here on Talk Radio, we invite you to tune in and call in with all your questions and comments. This program is sponsored by the Church of Christ in Brookshire, Texas, where I serve as local minister, also in cooperation with the Darren Luke Church of Christ, with Brother Louis Parker IV, a local minister, along with our panel guest, Brother Louis Parker Jr. and Brother Brown. It's good to have you on the air with us, and we thank God for every opportunity to share this holy and divine word, the Bible. We're just overjoyed with the program, how it's going. We want to thank all our callers in advance for calling us with questions and comments, and that's pretty much our radio program. And we thank God and we thank you for your interest in your soul salvation. We thank God for every opportunity to share this holy and divine word of the Bible. We invite you to all our scheduled services at Sunday morning at 9:45. We have Bible study for all ages. At 10:45, we have our morning worship services. And on Wednesday, 7:30, we have Bible study for all ages. On the fourth Wednesday of each month, we have Open Forum Night conducted live at our building. And we invite you to come. We invite everyone to come out to be a part of that. We thank God for the opportunities. And at this time, we want to open the floor for questions. If you have questions or comments, call us. The number to call is 1-347-850-8256. Number to call for questions or comments, 1-347-850-8256. Well, we were asking the question on our program last time, and we're going to continue to this time here. We want to know, if you have the answer to us, call us and let us know, can Jesus save, will Jesus save anyone without the gospel? That's our question we've been dealing with now for a couple of weeks now. And we want to hear how you feel about it. Will Jesus save anyone without the gospel? That's the question on the floor today, and we look forward to hearing from you to discuss these matters, because it's in lieu of our soul salvation. Because you hear people say all the time, all one must do is accept Jesus as your personal Savior, and I've still been having trouble finding that. Not only I can't find the phrase, I can't find that concept either. So we're asking, if you know the answer and you know where it's found, please call us. Let us know. We can look at it for ourselves. It pays to investigate before you invest. The wise man says in Proverbs 14 and verse 15, he says, the simple man believeth every word, but the prudent or clever man looketh well to his going, meaning a simple-minded man will believe whatever he hears, but a wise man will investigate before he invests. So we'll give you a chance to investigate. Call us. Let us know where it's found, because we can't seem to find the phrase in the Bible, except Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Brother Parker, are you there?
Yeah. Yes. We'd like to say yes. Good evening. If you have any questions, yes, please call in and ask those questions, because you have to understand one thing all of us must understand, is that this is a temporary visit to the earth. And we'll be leaving here. Now, just like Brother Robert said, that how people say, well, all I got to do is just believe in him and I'll be saved. No, no, no. That's just like going on a job. You go on the job and say, well, all I got to do is be here and I'll have a job. No, you got to work when you get on that job. You got to work in the Lord once you become a member of the body of Christ that's written in the Bible. Any questions about that, please call in. There's only one church you can find in the Bible, one and only one. Please call in, Brother Robin.
Yes. Another question I have in mind, too, how many choices do you have when there's just only one for a certain thing? How many choices do one have when there's only one of a certain thing? Did Adam have a choice when it came down to a wife? No. I have a Miss Eve, or do like poor folks, do without. Amen. When there's only one of a certain thing, you have no choice. You have to have that one. So we're asking people, if you have the answer, please call. Let's discuss these things. As Isaiah says in Isaiah 1:18, God said to the prophet Isaiah, come now, let us reason together. See, our soul is going to spend eternity somewhere. We are all headed the way of all flesh, all of us. And our soul is going to spend eternity somewhere, either one place or the other. How you live your life now will determine where your soul will spend eternity. So with that in mind, that should be important enough to all of us to want to investigate to see where we're headed, because you're not going to stay here. Amen. The oldest man in the world, he even died. Methuselah, the oldest man in the world, he even died. So the Bible tells us in Hebrews 9:29-27, as it is appointed unto men once to die, after this, the judgment. So we're all going the way of all flesh. You may well stop fooling yourself. We ain't going to live forever. So you may well prepare yourself now for the next life. So we're asking, as far as the salvation of man's soul, as far as they're concerned, will Jesus save anyone without the gospel? If you know the answer, please call and tell us. The number to call is 1-347-850-8256. 1-347-850-8256. Thank you very much, Brother Parker.
Yes, and please let us know, because many people, millions of people across the world do not believe in the Bible, and everyone has known that the Bible is real. It is the book of all books. No other book came into being other than the Bible first of all. And you know something? If you read in some of the other religions, after Christ died and ascended to heaven and had established the church, that they say, then came so-and-so, so-and-so, and he did this and he did that. How are you going to change what God has ordained to have been done? In other words, in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 15, the Bible says, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named after Christ. In verse 21 of Ephesians chapter 3, it says, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, without until the end. Amen. Until the end. Amen. Christ built the church, and it's going to be here until he comes back again. Nobody else ever in the history of this earth put another church up. Now, what they've done, they made a good hustle out of getting churches and put them in their name and get people to come and give everything they got and all for it and to come in the church and have fun, but not to worship him as God has commanded us. The Bible says. Now, if there are any questions that you think it's a different way, please let us know. Brother Robin.
Thank you, Brother Parker. Yes, we're inviting you to call in with your questions and comments, because our soul is at stake. And people need to realize how important it is, because your soul, as we said earlier, your soul is going to spend eternity somewhere. We're trying to let you know how grave and how important it is. As we said before, we speaking the truth in love. This program was designed with you in mind. We speak the truth in love. We're not here to condemn anybody to hell. We're not here to try to show everyone how much Bible we know as opposed to how much you don't. We're not here to badmouth or bash anybody's religious beliefs or anything like that. We're here because of the love of the truth. And we're all here as truth seekers. So let's go to the Bible and just see what it says. That would be the best way. That's why I invite you to ask questions, because that's how one can arrive at truth, by simply asking questions. It's done in courts of law every day. They arrive at truth by simply asking certain questions. If you don't have anything to hide, you shouldn't have any problem entertaining questions. If you tell the truth, you got to always keep telling it. It's like if a person gets you to join his organization by lying to you, to keep you there, you got to keep on lying, because he got you by lying. However, if he gets you there by simply telling the truth, all he must do is keep on telling the truth. Amen. So we're saying the same thing. Let's just go to the book and see what it says. We ask you to call us. The number to call is 1-347-850-8256. And the question is, will Jesus save anyone without the gospel? That's the question on the floor today. Will Jesus our Lord save anyone without the gospel? The number to call is 1-347-850-8256. 1-347-850-8256. Thank you very much, Brother Parker.
Yes, and someone here that has some information, please let us know. If there's any other way that we can serve Christ other than the biblical way. Some of the things that are going on, you can't even find them in the Bible nowadays. And we have one that our Supreme Court has already initiated. That is, men can marry men, women can marry women. Where is that in the Bible? When did God ever say that that's right or you can do that? How can you, two men, marry each other and procreate among themselves? No way. How can two women marry and keep the marriage together? How can they procreate? God told man to be fruitful, multiply the earth, replenish it, and subdue it. Now, how are you going to be fruitful, that is, in bringing forth children and people into the world? How can two men marry and be fruitful? Ooh, hey, that's kind of tough, pal. How can two women marry and be fruitful? What does the gospel, the good news, tell us? The good news of the gospel is there. Follow the gospel and live as the gospel has commanded us to do. We'll be out of all of those kinds of problems and live a wonderful life, the most wonderful life you could ever live on earth, and then eternal life with Jesus in heaven. Ooh, Lord, that's a wonderful thing. Now, if there's someone here that can prove to us, you don't have to have the gospel, or prove to us that anyway will they do, just accept Christ in your heart and you're going to be all right. Do anything you want to do, but accept him in your heart. Please, please call in and make us shut our mouths up. We're not out here to try to hurt nobody. We're out here to put the word out here. Just bring it and prove all things. The Bible told us to prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Please call in. Please. Brother Robbins.
Thank you, Brother Parker. And for those of you out there who didn't know that the Bible condemns this men marrying men and women marrying women, for those who didn't know the Bible condemns that, I want to read it to you. In Romans chapter 1, look at verse number 26. And the Bible reads, "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affection, for even their women," get this now, "for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also," get this now, "the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over unto a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And I know about this because many guys who I know who are gay don't want to hear the Bible. The homosexuals and lesbians, they don't want to hear the Bible because they didn't know the Bible condemned their lifestyle. So they want to avoid talking about the Bible because they know they're wrong. And then as far as their procreation, they know that two men cannot procreate. Neither can two women. They know that. What they do, try to get around it by adopting some kids and teach them the same false doctrine. That's their way of procreating. I'll adopt some children and teach them the very same thing. See, and that is dangerous. That's very dangerous because, see, what's going to happen is one of these days you got to give an account for that. You're going against the Bible. Look at verse 32 of that same chapter. The Bible says, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. See, the Bible condemns that. I don't care how many folks accept it or condone it or how many states make it legal. The Bible still condemns it. And when you stand before God in the last day, there will not be a copy of the United States Constitution there. We're going to be judged by the Bible, not by what the USA says, because God's come first. God's law. The wise man says, Ecclesiastes 12:13, he said, let us not hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. The number to call is 1-347-850-8256. 1-347-850-8256. Brother Parker.
Yes, and we need to understand that the gospel is very important to us. The word of God is a guide for our life. It will lead us. The Bible says in Psalms 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That it will lead you in the right direction when you follow the word of God. Here again in Psalms 119, verse 11, the Bible says, thy word have I hid is mine heart. Have I hid in my heart. I've hid it in my heart that I might not sin against thee. We got to hide the word of God in our hearts and our minds that we will not sin against God. It is a light to our and a lamp to our feet. It'll guide us in the right direction. The gospel is the most important thing in any human being's life that's on this earth, because it is the light that we got to live to have the most beautiful life on earth in Christ Jesus, and after we die, eternal life with Christ in heaven. We can't do like the rich man did. He wouldn't even feed poor Lazarus at his gate. Lazarus desired the crumbs that fell from his table. But when he died in hell, he lifted up his eyes. And not only that, when Lazarus died, he was over in Abraham's bosom. Now, we're not trying to send nobody to hell. No, we're not trying to do that. What we're trying to do is, first of all, obey the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Obey it. Live in it. And live the most wonderful life that you could ever live on planet Earth. My Lord, you'll see God work in your life like you never would have seen him had you not obeyed the gospel. It is the most wonderful life you can live, because Jesus told us he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So we get life here. Not only the abundance of life here on earth while we are human beings breathing air and oxygen and having pains and can get sicknesses and everything, we get the most wonderful life here and then an eternal life in heaven with Jesus Christ. Ooh, Lord, someone please call in. If that's wrong what I'm saying, or Brother Robbins or any of us saying here, please call in and straighten us out. please call in. Brother Robbins.
Yeah, thank you, Brother Parker. Yeah, well, actually, we appreciate those who tune in every week to our program. We appreciate that, but we want you to call. We can help everybody. There may be another caller tuning in who may have a problem in the same area you're having a problem in. So we can all benefit. We can all benefit from that. So if you're out there and you want to state your opinion or how you feel about certain things or even if you agree with us, call us. Let us know that because that encourages us to try to help other people. See, if you're going to help someone, you must help them in the area where it's most needed. Most folk need help when it comes down to the Bible. Here's an example. We've been telling you about this men marry men thing. Look what the Bible says. And just even in the Old Testament, in Leviticus, the 18th chapter, and verse 22, the Bible says, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind, as with womankind, it is abomination." Do you think those Supreme Court justices read that? Or did they just flat out ignored it? You think that the average guy who wanted to marry another guy read that? Either he read it and ignored it, or he knows in the Bible. The Bible condemns that kind of thing. That's what we're talking about. We're saying, let's go back to the Bible, because the Bible is right. I don't think you'll find anybody who come out too much and say the Bible is wrong. The Bible is right. But the thing is that people want to have their opinion and have the word of God. You can't have it that way. You can't have it both ways. You got to go by what the Bible says. The number to call is 1-347-850-8256. 1-347-850-8256. Thank you very much. We got a call on the line. Is there a caller there?
One of the things I wanted to. Hey, can y'all hear me?
Go ahead.
Yes, this is Brother Parker. The floor is coming on.
Yeah.
He's the minister of the Darien Luke Church of Christ.
Right, yes, sir. And one of the things that I wanted to mention and just, you know, appreciate Brother Parker Jr. and Brother Robin so much, you know, and just encourage those callers. You know, call in with your questions. You know, call in. You know, one of the things I wanted to mention is what Brother Robbins referenced earlier, Romans chapter 1. You know, and if you tune on a Tuesday as well, you hear Brother Parker go through that chapter in detail. Notice what Paul was letting them know in Romans chapter 1. In other words, although the law wasn't given to Gentiles, the fact is, Gentiles could, by nature, do what's contained in the law. In other words, even without law, there's another law that applies, and that's just the natural law, basically. In other words, even, you know, we understand our old covenant, God gave his law, the covenant, to his people, which was Israel, the Jews. However, the Gentiles did not receive God's law. They were not God's people. They were Gentiles. In other words, other Gentiles basically is a word meaning other nations. So all the other nations did not receive God's law. So therefore, they knew not God because they served their own gods. They're engaged in pagan worship, many polytheistic pagan worship. So they had many gods, some of those nations did. You know, what happened in Romans chapter 1, you were still without excuse because although you did not have God's law, you could have, by nature, done the law of God because you should have physically walked outside and knew that there was a God because somebody had to create the universe, you know, is orderly designed, you know. But what happened as he proceeds on through chapter 1, what Paul was explaining is a life without God. A life without the truth. In other words, a person could become so wise in his own mind, not heavenly wisdom, but worldly wisdom. A person could become so smart, so intelligent, that they become stupid. And I believe in a lot of ways you got that going on in the world today. You know, and Paul let them know in verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, and neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their fruit was always darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible men, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. In other words, instead of worshiping the Creator, they began to worship things created, you know. So, in other words, what happened, eventually God turned them over to themselves. So, here's the problem. When man is put in charge of himself, he leads himself along with others astray. That's why it's very important that we all have God as Lord of our lives. And I want everybody that's listening in our audience to understand that we must submit ourselves to God, subject our lives, and give our hearts totally over to Him. Because when we are in charge, when God leaves man in charge, everything is destroyed. Man cannot even handle his own business, basically, when it comes to salvation, when it comes to his spiritual life. So therefore, we need God. And that's what Paul wanted them to see. And later on in his letter to the Romans, he let them know that's the purpose why the law was introduced pretty much from the start, to show man the error of his ways and to show man how much he needed God in order to depend on, you know, for salvation. So therefore, we need God. And it's a terrible world we live in when people are not allowed to express their need for God. So I want to encourage Christians. I want to encourage those true Christians out there that's wanting to put God first, that's stepping up and speaking up against the wrong that's taking place, to keep on going. You know, don't be discouraged. And we live in a time today that you could express belief in God and people think you're stupid. Don't be discouraged, because it's going to come a day where every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So don't be discouraged. You keep on doing what God wants you to do. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Parker. Yes, well, while we're on that topic, look at what Jesus, our Lord, did for us. If you want to keep God in your life, look what he did for us. In John chapter 1, look at verse number 11. The Bible says in John chapter 1, 11, he says, he came to his own, and his own received him not. Get this now, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power or the privilege or the right to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Man, that is so powerful.
Yes.
Even his own people rejected him, but many of those that do believe on him and obey him, he gave them the power, the privilege, or the right to become become a part of God's family. Man, that is special. That is special. You should be beholden to God just for that purpose alone. So you think that someone who turns away from God, he's going to save them the same way he would those who turn toward him? Think about it. Think about it. For those who obey him, all these victims are reserved just for that. He gave you the right, the privilege, or the power to become one of his. So we're asking, will he do that for you without the gospel? Will Christ save anyone without the gospel? Number to call is 1-347-850-256. 1-347-850-8256. Thank you very much, Brother Parker.
Yes, Brother Robert and Brother Brown, is there anyone that would like to say something online right now? If not, then I would like for you to, sir, I would like for you to turn to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. Now notice what we're saying, what Peter said here in the Bible. He says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Oh, Lord have mercy. See, walking in the footsteps of Jesus, we can escape the lust of the world, and it is a divine nature that is given unto us. It is exceeding and great and a precious promises we'll receive when we walk in only the word of God and obey the gospel of the Lord, of our Savior. Psalms already had told us about it before then. See, all Christ's coming had been spoken of and was to come from Genesis all the way through Revelation. He was to come here and be our Savior. Now, we look at Psalms number 37 in verse 23. The Bible says, yes. Yes.
We got a question coming in.
Yes, come on with the question. Yes.
I got a question, brother.
Come on.
All right. Jesus Christ, anybody can answer this. Do you believe the Jesus of 2,000 years ago will return to this earth?
No.
Okay. When you talk about judgment day, are you looking for a particular 24-hour period? Are you looking for a series of days?
When the Bible speaks of day, you got to look at it in the context of how it's used. Brother Peter tells us a day in the eyes of God is like 1,000 years. Now, as far as that goes, we look forward to the day no matter how long it is. But the point is dealing with one's faith in God with regard to how long they count the day, whether you want to count 24 hours or not. The day in the eyes of God, just, we can't put God in a vacuum and look at it how we look at it. But in the eyes of God, a day could be like 1,000 years. But the point is, where's your faith in whatever the Bible says? No matter how long it is, you got to get ready and you got to stay ready. So whenever God, whenever that day comes, you'll be ready. That's the idea behind it. It's on the idea of one's faith in God and whether you believe what the Bible says or not. But as far as the Bible does not say Jesus is going to come back and put his foot on this earth again. The Bible won't say that. We're going to meet him in the air, not on the earth. Brother Parker, see that?
Go on, Brother Park. I was going to mention. I think that's a very good question because throughout the Bible it talks about the day of the Lord. And today we use the term judgment day. Stuff like that. But I think it's a good question, and I like our brother Robbins went over and said how days will be 1,000 years, 1,000 years. But also we know that in eternity, whenever Christ comes back in eternity, time is suspended. Time is non-existent. So when we talk about the day of the Lord, that's a good question. No, it's not talking about a specific set period of time, but just the moment in time when Jesus comes back, And also I like the other question that brother asked about, do we believe that Jesus Christ is returning to the earth? And that's a very good question, too, because this popular teaching that's going on out in the world today that's becoming extremely dominant in the religious world. And it's various forms of it, but you have premillennialism. It's basically the umbrella that covers it, which basically advises that Jesus will come and set up his kingdom on earth. He'll reign here. On earth for 1,000 years, and someone called in the other week and asked a very good question about the revelation of John and how it should be interpreted. Sometimes when we use scripture that's meant to be figurative and interpret literally, sometimes we could get false doctrine out of doing that. So that's why it's very important to submit ourselves to the word of God and interpret it in a manner that is meant to be interpreted. But you have postmillennialism, and premillennialism, you have people talking about the rapture, which came after a very popular work written by, a couple men, but we believe that Jesus Christ will return, not to set up his kingdom on earth, in the body of Christ. We believe not in premillennialism, not in postmillennialism, but in amillennialism, basically that the 1,000-year reign is more meant to be interpreted figuratively. Now if someone want to call and challenge that and they want to, find and show me, in the Bible where that's literal, then we could talk about that as well.
Well, when you look at the Our Father prayer, which Jesus prayed because they asked Jesus to teach them how to pray.
Right.
Jesus said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Mm-hmm.
That means your name stand alone, God. I mean, hey, Jesus was telling Father, your name stand alone. Nobody equates to you. That's what
Jesus was telling
him. And
he said,
kingdom come. He said, your kingdom come, which God is the creator of the universe in heaven. And actually, earth is part of the universe. I don't know why we separate earth from the universe, because it is part of the universe.
Uh-huh.
And I think sometimes when we look at earth, we look at earthly ways, then that separates as part of the universe, you know.
Right.
And he said, thy kingdom come on earth. So when I read that, and when I break that down, I'm looking at the kingdom of God coming here on earth. I don't look at that in the sky. I'm not reading that as in the sky. I'm looking at heaven here on earth because the scripture do say the righteous here inherit the earth. So I'm looking for the righteous. Everybody that does righteous by his word will inherit the earth. And I see this change is coming as we speak today, just like you're speaking, but you have to be right with God. So I see that righteousness and that heaven being applied to earth. I don't see that in the sky because the sky is already heaven. It's already obeyed God. The sun, moon, and the stars obey God. They obey God. You don't even need snakes, alligators, flies. They all obey God. The only person who don't obey God is man. So
it's
we
man,
don't want
that
right. problem.
Okay.
Right,
so,
right.
Thank you very much.
So, go ahead, brother.
Okay, thank you very much. I can see where you're going a mile away. Now, when you prayed that prayer, that was a model prayer for the Israelites. That wasn't for everybody. People have labeled it and called it the Lord's Prayer, but actually that's a model prayer. The real Lord's Prayer was prayed in the 17th chapter of John in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he prayed that all his power would be one. That's the real Lord's Prayer. Now, you want to talk about the kingdom? Look at Matthew 16, verse 18. Jesus, our Lord, had asked the disciples, who do men say that I am? And they gave the different course that was out there on the street. Some say you are Elias. Some say you are Jeremiah. Some say you are John the Baptist. He asked the disciples, he said, who do you say that I am? And then Simon Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, blessed art thou, Simon, John, in Matthew 16 chapter. For flesh and blood has not revealed it to thee, my Father in heaven. He said, and I also say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, upon the truth of your confession, that I am the Christ, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And look at the next verse. He says, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. So if you're trying to say the kingdom is coming, how could the apostles have the keys in their pocket if the kingdom haven't come? They're all dead. If that be the case, ain't nobody getting in. The kingdom and the church in that context, they are used synonymously. The kingdom and the church are one and the same. Christ is the head over his kingdom. If that be the case, you mean Christ is the king with no kingdom? No way. He is the king. When does the king begin to... When does the king begin to reign? When does the king begin to reign? When he sits on the throne. Go to Hebrews chapter 1. In Hebrews chapter 1, we're going to start reading verse 1. And the Bible says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners speak in time past to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir to all things, by whom he also made the world, who being the righteous of his glory and the substance of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the master on high. That's when Christ is laying over his kingdom. See, it's not coming, it's already here. It's the church. The kingdom and the church are one and the same. that's the kingdom that Christ rules over right now. So it's not coming, it's already here. Brother Paul, thank you very much.
In Matthew 16:28, Christ actually says, "Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." The Jew in the first century, they looked for that kingdom, and they look. Okay, well, first of all, can people hear me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so basically what happened, the Jews looked for the Messianic kingdom. We know God established the kings after the period of the judges. So what happened is that, kings came that wasn't so good kings, and it actually took God's people away, from God, Now, what happened, the kingdoms eventually split, as y'all know, there was an Egyptian bondage that first came out of Egyptian bondage, entered the promised land, came, and judges got set up, then kings, and then the kingdom split. And then the northern kingdom went into Assyrian captivity, the southern kingdom went to Babylonian captivity, and that was because of what the people were doing. They got taken away from God. So what happened is that as promised, as prophesied by Daniel chapter 2, other nations took over. And so therefore what happened, the Jews look for the Messiah to come and reestablish Jewish rule on earth. However, when Jesus came, they did not expect the Messiah to come as a suffering servant. They expected the Messiah to come lavishly and zealously overthrow the Roman government who was at rule at the time and to establish his kingdom on earth. That's what they wanted. That's what the Jews wanted. However, the reason why many rejected the king, Jesus, as the Messiah is because he said, well, I'm coming and I'm establishing my kingdom, but not the way you want it. Number one, it's not going to be all lavish like that, like you want it. Is not going to come zealously and violently overthrowing the government. Instead, number two, this kingdom, and here's what kind of got a lot of Jews at that time kind of ticked off, this kingdom is going to be accessible to everybody, not just Jews, but everybody is going to be allowed to enter into this kingdom. So that way the Christ is going to rule over not only the Jews, but also over everybody. And that's why Jesus hinted that the kingdom yields the called out. The kingdom that he was referring to wasn't a kingdom that was going to be established on earth, but instead it was going to be a spiritual kingdom. In other words, everyone who wants to be a part of that kingdom would be those who would submit themselves to his kingship. So therefore, the kingdom is the called out. Called out is basically the definition of a word called ecclesia. And ecclesia is translated as the called out body, which we refer to today as the church. So therefore, that's why we believe the kingdom of Christ is spiritual, and that kingdom is made up of the citizens, which have been those who are called out. In other words, the body of Christ, the church. So therefore, that's what we believe. That's why we believe that Christ's kingdom is in rule today, and it is indeed the church of Christ.
And we are called out from the world by way of the gospel. See, that's where just like Abraham was called out from his father's house. Abraham was called out from his father's house. The same principle applies. You had to be. Israel was called out from Israel. See, so the whole point is the kingdom and the church are used. That's why they're used. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
That's why those two terms are used synonymously, interchangeably, because they are one and the same. This is why Jesus, our Lord, told Pontius Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world." In other words, he would tell him, as far as power concerned or overthrowing the Roman government, that there's no threat to the Roman government by my kingdom as far as being overthrown it bodily. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were of this world, then my servant would fight. I should be delivered. And Pilate knew then that Jesus our Lord's kingdom was not a threat to Roman rule. So he found him not guilty. I find no fault in this man. See, so
That was the whole idea of Pilate. What Pilate screwed up at is when he began to parlay with the people. He had already ruled, I found no fault in this man, but he began to parlay with them. And that was pretty much the end of Pilate because he, anyway, that's sidetracking. But the point of the matter is the kingdom is not coming. It's already here. It's the church that Christ died, buried, and rose again and paid for it with his own blood. Brother Parker, you there?
Yes, yes. And one day, someday, whenever that day is, the trumpet is going to sound, and Christ is going to come back, not on the earth, but caught up in the air. And men and people here will be running to the rocks and the dens of the mountains and fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne. For the great day of the wrath of the Lamb is come, and who shall be able to stand? And the righteous going to be caught up in the air with him to go back to heaven because earth going to burn up. And all of this universe is going to be destroyed. See, God put the sun, the moon, the stars, all that glory up in the air that we can look at and enjoy here on earth. But all of that is going to be gone.
Amen.
And hell will be here. Nothing but fire.
Amen.
Brother Parker, the fourth.
Yeah, yes, sir. And that's why Paul was able to say that you could be translated. Go ahead.
Yes, sir.
I just don't agree with that at all, brothers. You're saying Jesus comes back. Let's say we're talking to a 5-year-old child, and we tell him Jesus is going to come back. And this 5-year-old child, like my 5-year-old son, he said, "Daddy, how am I know when Jesus? How am I know what he looked like? How am I know that's Jesus when he come back?
Yeah,
am I gonna see him in the sky? Is he gonna fall out the sky?
Yeah,
you know, we have to at this day and age because our people are dying on the street, man. There's people dying all over this world because of religion. You know, an atheist came up to me." And I'm a divine man. I believe in God. I believe in the whole work. But an atheist told me this one time. He said, "Brother, in religion, y'all kill." He said, "We an atheist, we don't even kill." And that's just a fact. That's an actual fact. Atheist people don't kill. But in religion, we kill. See, and people are dying, you know. So we've got to come up with some answers. We've got to teach this properly to our children. Because we're getting further and further behind. Yes, we are. When you look at the news,
absolutely.
When you look at this homosexuality, women marrying women, when you look at the murder on the street, when you look at the dollar bill, it's the God. They made the dollar bill a God now. You know, and Jesus, God, Abraham, nobody is proud of this world as a worldly thing. Now, there's some good things in this world, but as an overall thing, they're not proud of this. So we've got to come up with some answers, and we've got to be precise, and we've got to lead our people out of this hell here on earth.
Okay, thank you very much. Go ahead, son.
No, I was going to say that's a wonderful point, you know. See, and I kind of feel like that's part of the problem. You know, I think part of the problem is that we've been coming up with answers too much. You know, and that's the reason why religion is leading people to hell. I absolutely agree with that. Religion, in a lot of ways, is leading people to hell. And one reason why is because we've been coming up with our own answers. The fact is, the answer has already been given. You know, if you want to know how it will look when Jesus comes back, you know, you go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, begin at verse 13, and you can read that for yourself. I won't go there for you. You can read that, you know, for yourself. But you are absolutely right. But see, here's the problem. It's not Christ's religion that's leading people to hell. It's Satan's religion. Christ said, like Brother Robin said earlier, "Upon this rock I'll build my church." Christ established one church. The problem with it is that Satan has more churches than Christ. See, that's when religion has gone wrong. You know, see, so the answer is already there. Christ gave us the answer and the tools that we need in order to get back to him. The problem with it is that Satan has came and introduced his own religions into the world, and that's what's leading people away from Christ. That's what you have that's out there killing people in the name of Jesus, in the name of God, you know. So, you know, we got to be careful about that, brother, you know. And I know you disagree with us. There's nothing wrong with that. That's the reason why we have programs like this. If anyone else disagrees, right, please feel free to call in. We appreciate you. We love you for that and for being, and for your honesty, you know, because we're just, you know, being honest, you know, ourselves, you know. So we appreciate that.
Thank you very much. And while we're going that way, I want to share this with you. Just because you don't want to believe it does not nullify the word of God. The Bible is still right, whether you believe it or not. Turn your Bible to Romans 3 and verse 3. In Romans 3 and verse 3, and Brother Paul knew people going to say things like that. In Romans 3 and verse 3, Brother Paul says, "And what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true and every man lie." The Bible is right whether you believe it or not. The Bible is still right. But the point is, the gospel of Christ will change man's way of thinking. The gospel of Christ will change your way of thinking. See, it'll take the sword right out of your hand. The gospel will, if you're honest. The gospel mainly deals with honest and contrite heart, or an honest and contrite heart. The Bible gives that on a man. But, you know, as long as men are dishonest and they're so willing to pick up a weapon first, that's the wrong kind of man. The point is, Christ didn't tell us to go out there and conquer anybody with a physical sword. Only sword we have is the word of God, the sword of the Spirit. The gospel of Christ can change. I know it can change you because it changed me. I know what kind of man I was. I know what kind of man I was. But the gospel of Christ changed me. It'll change you. It'll change any man if you're honest. So I know it's some bad things going on in the world. I know it's people dying on the street. I know it's people who go out, it's bad cops, good cops, bad cops, good and bad. It's good and bad all over the globe. But the gospel of Christ will change your mind and make you a better man than what you mean, and make you a new creation. All things be passed away, all things come if you're honest. Brother Parker, you there?
Yes, yes, yes. And we want to thank you, sir, for calling in.
Yes, this
has been a very loving thing to us, you know. We need to know these things so that we can keep on declaring God's word to people. You know, Christ is coming back someday. Now, he's going to come back. You know, we all got to leave here. And you mentioned children. When we raise up our children, you know, I would probably have been out there dead now or killing people, a big-time dope dealer and killer too. Because you know what? When I was coming up, they used to call me, man, Daddy Red. I was a wicked little boy. But you know what? My father, who was a minister, he whipped that Daddy Red out of me and made me straighten up and fly right. Then he started teaching, and I started reading and studying the Bible and everything. Started preaching. Amen? And see, that when you start obeying the word of God, if we get our children to obey us, we'll tell them, say, look, when you go to the bathroom, I want you to flush the commode. And they go in there and don't flush the commode and everything. You're going to do something to them to make them flush that commode. The same thing is with the word of God. When you tell them, say, look, you shouldn't steal, you shouldn't lie, and don't be going running around with these people smoking this dope and everything, you'll get in trouble and everything. God said live the right life. And when they go out there and get in trouble for it, they learn. But if you teach them when they're young, they won't get into that stuff quickly. You got to teach them and bring them upright. I just thank my father for doing what he did for me to change me into a Christian-type person, because I would have been a big-time hellion, probably dead now, because I would have embraced that drug age that came up when I got to be a teenager and then getting to be a young man. It was gone. It was boom time then. We need to understand the word of God. You have to embrace it, and you have to be taught it. And when you're taught it, then you understand what happens when you stop doing it. And when you stop doing it, you're going to suffer for it. Because God bless you when you're doing the right thing. Amen. Just like your parents. When you're acting right, they're going to bless you. You may even get an increase on your allowance because of your goodness. Amen. Brother, come back on and help us again. Help us again. Please come on, sir.
Yes. Turn your Bible to John 6:45. In John 6:45, Jesus our Lord said this. He said, it is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that has heard and learned of the Father, come to me. See, though that five-year-old child, he can be taught, but he got to be taught properly. See, if you talk properly, you'll come to God because you got to be taught. And see, when men are not taught and taught properly, they'll believe anything. That's why teaching is so important. That's why this program is on the air, that men may be taught and taught properly, because there's all kinds of things out there that men are teaching, and a lot of it is false doctrine. But once you are taught, even starting up as a child, Timothy's mother and grandmother taught him the scriptures as a child. That's why being a great gospel preacher, because what his mother and grandmother instilled in him as a child. So if he is 5 years old, he still has to be taught. Teach those children what the Bible says, what God says in his word. That's how you get to the mind of that five-year-old. And then as he grow older, he'll see the spiritual side of it, and he will look for God to be a person or what it looks like, because the Bible tells us that, you know, however he looks, we're going to appear just like him, having a new body. But see, that'll be taught in time to that child. You got to see, Brother Paul says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I thought as a child. I understood as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. See, so you teach them in the level that they are, but it's a growing process. So as they get older, they'll realize the strength of it, and they'll identify with those things as far as their mind to carry them. That's what we're saying. Let's just go back to the book and see what the book says, because the Bible is right. The book, as Brother Parker said, it's the book of all books. Let's just go back to the book. Speak where the Bible speaks. Silence where the Bible is silent. You call Bible things by Bible names, and do Bible things and by way. And we want to thank you again, sir, for that comment. We love that, and we love you. We love it. Please keep on calling. Tell your friend to tune in and call in, because these things are pertinent to our soul salvation. Brother Parker.
Yes, and that is, we're for real there, sir. I wish you'd get back on and say something else. We're not here to try to, you got a right to think whatever you want to think. All of us on this earth got the right to do whatever we want to do. He just told us, those people that go to the Bible, to tell them the word and let the word of God move in them like it should. Please, sir, say something else. Get back on. Bring your friends and all.
Are you there? Yes, I'm still here. And I think you're going to go off the air, right?
Right.
We don't have to now.
I'm out in the public. One of the things I wanted to say is that, you know, I believe man is God. I believe that we as men are God. I believe that the scripture, I think, say ye are our little God, the Most High God. The Most High God is creation itself. I don't believe it's a man out there that's looking at us per se, eyes or a nose or a mouth that's coming back. I believe that man that we're looking for is within ourselves. Yeah. And I believe that path, if you want to take it, if that path, he said, I'm going to send you a spiritual son, not to worship, but to live like this son.
Yeah.
I believe Jesus was sent here not to worship, not to idolize. I mean, give it praise. You praise God for sending you Jesus. But I believe Jesus was sent here on how to live. And I believe that the Romans separated Jesus from the real connection of who he really was, because he didn't want to see man's salvation or man's honesty on earth to survive. Took Jesus and put him up there with God and told us, say, well, you can't touch this man. I believe we can. I believe we can walk and be just like Jesus. And I believe we can do it here on earth. I don't believe there's no hell in the middle of this earth. I don't believe there's no people sitting out there in the sky. I believe heaven is here on earth. We just have to live and be that way, and that's through Christ or through the gospel, any way you want to put it. Because a lot of people put it a different way. A lot of people do a lot of different ways. They don't. They might not use that word, gospel of Christ, but they live righteously under the commandments of a creator.
Okay, thank you very much, sir. But let me share this with you before we sign off. In John 14 and verse 6, Jesus our Lord said, "No man come to the Father but by me." You can't just take Jesus out of the way. God sent him to die for mankind so you can get to God only through Christ Jesus. And whether you believe it or not, you believe whatever you want. But as far as the Bible is concerned, Jesus is God. He's God the Son. And you can't get to God the Father but without the Son, because the Bible says in 2 John 9, the Bible says this, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he had both the Father and the Son. If any come unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into thy house, neither give him God's seed. For he that give him God's seed, he will take of his evil deeds." Tune in next week. Call back next week, and we'll deal with some more. Thank you very much, sir.
I'm gonna have a rebuttal to that now.
But what you just said about nobody
go through God but the Son. I'm gonna have a reason why they say it. Now I'm gonna have that next week.
Hey, brother, you know, here's the other thing that we want you to rebut too. You know, and you believe that, you stated your belief, and that's good, and we really appreciate that. But also, let's go back to the history. It's not the Romans who promote that didn't really not occur until almost Constantine's time, where Jesus was elevated in the church and all that. But before then, you have Nero, we had to go to Domitian and all these other emperors who really condemned Christianity and couldn't stand the person of Christ. You know, so we got to be careful, you know, with the history. It's probably good to go back and get some of that too. But not only that, it's amazing how many of the Jews, even the religious Jews like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, even started believing, even before the Romans did. When the Christian movement first started, it was strictly Jews besides the proselytes. However, when it went on and progressed through the first and second century, that's when the movement came majority Gentile, but it did not become a state religion until after Constantine's time. So we're really, that teaching, by the way, is becoming very popular, especially in the black community, but we got to be careful with it. And also the deification of man is something that's becoming popular too. That was popularized, believe it or not, way back in the second, even the first century. You know, and I think there's some kind of hint of Gnosticism there as well, to where, you know, people think that the matter is evil, the body is something that we have to escape from as spiritual beings, you know. So let's talk about that next week, brother, because I think you brought up some wonderful points and points that I really have to deal with.
And I thank you, brothers, for your time. I'll see y'all next week. God bless you, man.
Thank you.
And it's a great day what you're doing, man.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Thank you, too. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye.